All right, it is just after 5 p.m., time for American Hit Radio. 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD is what you are listening to. And the voice that you are listening to, you're hearing at this moment, is...
is me.
It's Honey Morales Ryan and myself, Tom Ryan. We're here every Wednesday and Friday at 5 p.m. We've been playing albums for a very, very long time. Two lists of albums that we are utilizing to convey the importance of albums in terms of music history and also the diversity that has occurred over the past, well, almost a century. Well, 75 years anyway, 80 years. We started in 1955 because that's when the 12-inch record album first began to become a popular thing. And there were charts and stuff about, you know, positions and popularity and things like that for the albums. So when we started doing that, in the earlier years, a lot of the albums that we were playing had charted because, after all, there weren't a whole bunch that weren't charting. But as time progressed and we got past the 60s, we got to a point where all of a sudden there was a lot of underground stuff. And now we're beginning to catch up with the alternative side because we had one list. We have half of the songs that the albums that we chose were deliberately top 40 albums. The other half were deliberately not top 40 albums. So we call one list the top 40. We call the other list the alternative top 40, putting them all together for a total of 1,000 albums that we intend to play. And I think right now we played pretty darn close to 500 of them. Because of the fact that, like I said, we started in 1955, we played a lot more top 40 stuff than non-top 40 stuff. So that's been ahead of the game by about maybe 30 or 40 albums. We're already past the midway point with that. With the alternative list, though, we're only up to number 230, and that's the album that we're playing today. It's number 30 of our alternative top 40 list. From April of 1977... topped the charts in America at number 209. That's sad for such a great record. It's by Dave Edmunds, and it's called Get It. I will admit openly that I don't know if there would be a whole bunch of people who would rate this album as highly as I do. But this is one of those albums that I really love because it represents this acceptance of history and such. And especially since, just real quick side thought, since we've started in 1955 and we worked our way up to this point, I definitely felt in my heart that we were playing older music that a lot of people would consider to be older music. But as we reached 1976, I kept talking about it was a weird year. Things were changing. And now that we're in 1977, it's the start of a different era. Things are going to be changing from this point forward. I'm even a little bit concerned about where we're going. And I do sort of know where we're going, for the next 500 or so albums. But it's definitely going to be different. So anyway, regarding the album, Get It by Dave Edmunds. I mean, to me, Dave Edmunds represents what might have been if rock and roll history moved in a linear fashion. In other words, it would be more or less a straight line from Hank Williams to Elvis Presley to Dion to Bob Seger and then Graham Parker. You know, history doesn't usually work in straight lines, though. And the history of rock and roll has more than its fair share of side streets, detours, and dead ends. By 1977, those variations added up to so many stylistic choices that a rock and roll roadmap would look more like a close-up of varicose veins. On Get It, Dave Edmunds performs a public service by clearing the artery and letting the blood flow straight from 1950 to 1977. In his hands, it is easy to see the relationship between all of these songs, despite whatever perceived stylistic titles that might have eventually been assigned to them when they were first released. A song like Here Comes the Weekend is a direct descendant of My Baby Left Me, not some twice-removed second cousin. All of these songs feel as though they share the exact same bloodline, which is a public service, because it helps a younger generation to make the necessary connections with the past. Now you see why I'm picking this album? Like all good music, rock and roll has roots. Otherwise, it would be as fleeting as a chia plant. These songs span decades that he chose to record on this album. But on Get It, every song sounds contemporary and fresh. Edmonds had plenty of time to practice at studying rock and roll history. Growing up in Cardiff, Wales, he played in bands since he was 14 and started fronting them when he reached his 20s. By the late 60s, he developed into a talented guitarist and vocalist who knew enough about recording to also work as a producer. Like a lot of other musicians, Edmonds noted that technology may have made it easier to achieve certain things, but he also noticed that some things were also lost. He wanted to understand why earlier records had a better feel and sound to them than contemporary recordings. After all, shouldn't have all that special equipment and stereo and everything make things sound better? Well, after some modest success with the band Love Sculpture, he started to experiment with his own arrangements of early rock and roll songs and found himself with a surprise hit when his recording of the Smiley Lewis tune, I Hear You Knocking, reached number one in Great Britain. Edmonds' method was intense and methodical. He would spend days laying various takes and sounds on top of one another, trying to achieve an effect that was unique and yet worthy of the original recording. In 1975, he released an entire album of his creative reinventions. That album was entitled Subtle as a Flying Mallet, which I love that title. His work was incredible, but since Edmonds played nearly all the instruments, the record lacked the lively sense of interplay that can only happen with a real live band. An affiliation with Nick Lowe, though, and the drummer Terry Williams led to the formation of a band called Rockpile. As a trio, they provided a number of original songs and a few rhythm tracks for Edmonds' next album. Set against a few of Edmonds' solo productions, the live rhythmic feel added variety and a raw energy that captured the spirit of early rock and roll records. Get It, the album that I'm about to play the entirety of today, ran roughshod through rock and roll history with new songs that could have been written 20 years earlier, like Little Darlin', Here Comes the Weekend, but they're new. Standing next to 20-year-old songs that sounded brand new, songs like Juju Man or Let's Talk About Us. The album is a pure joy as it celebrates our musical heritage without rendering it as if it were a museum piece. These recordings jump at you and make you want to dance. It might have been odd timing to release Get It at the same time that punk rock was attempting to dismantle rock and roll, but history now shows how this record continued the linearity from Jerry Lee Lewis to Johnny Rotten without disowning any of it. You want to hear what I'm talking about? Let's pick it up with the track. Here's him covering a Bob Seger song, because I mentioned him in that lineage, a song called Get Out of Denver. From 1977, Dave Edmonds on the album Get It.
Baby, get out of Denver, baby, get out of Denver. a baby go.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this, it's just like, almost like a rebirth of rock and roll in a way that I was, it was so welcome too in 1977. It's weird when you hear somebody playing old songs and you can say, man, that sounds fresh. That really sounds awesome. I mean, at this point in time, you know, I guess that people thinking about Bob Seger were thinking about Night Moves and stuff like that. Not Dave Edmunds. Dave Edmunds is thinking about Get Out of Denver, you know, and the rock and roll side. And I'm not, definitely not trying to say anything negative about Bob Seger. I think he's a great musician and very varied, and it's really cool what he did. But what, you know, Dave Edmunds just basically threw him into the pile and said, no, you know, you've done some great stuff. I love it. And I'm going to open up my album with it. And it, and he just continues. When is it, around this time in 1977, radio in America wasn't really playing a lot of the popular songs that, well, maybe they weren't. That's because they weren't really that popular. I was going to say the stuff that was coming, the punk music that was coming out of England, or even the stuff that was coming out of New York City, wasn't getting a lot of airplay. The early Blondie albums were not really that popular until like 79. And bands like Television really got very, very little airplay. But what was happening is like there were like radio stations like WNEW would go far enough to go to like the bands that were playing pub rock. You would hear some Graham Parker on the radio. And I definitely heard this, some tracks from this album on the radio listening to WNEW. And one of the songs that grabbed me really by the heart is the next track. It was written by Nick Lowe. And it's really become one of the best, like one of the best songs for a wedding ever. It's called I Knew the Bride.
Well, the bride looked a picture in the gown that her mama wore when she was married herself nearly 27 years before. She had to change her style a little, but it looked just fine. They stayed up all night, but they got it finished just in time. Now on the arm of her daddy, she's walking down. Then she catches my eye and she gives me a secret smile. Maybe it's too old-fashioned, but we once were a close friend. Oh, but the way that she looks today, she never could have been. Well, I can see her now in the tight blue jeans, pumping all her money in a record machine, spinning like a top. You should have seen her go. Oh, I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Now a proud daddy only wanna give his little girl the best. And so he put down a grand on a cozy little love's nest. You could have called the reception and a qualified success. He had a flash hotel for 150 guests. Well, take a look at the bridegroom smiling, pleased as pie. Shaking hands all round with a glassy look in his eye. He got a real good job and shirt and ties nice. But I remember a time when she would never even look at him twice. But I can see her now drinking with the boys, breaking their hearts like they were toys. She used to do the pony, she used to do the stroll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Well, I can see her now with her headphones on, jumping up and down to her favorite song. I still remember when she used to want to make a lot of noise, hopping and bopping with the street on the boys. She used to love to party. Hey!
This is one of those albums that if you could see a band play the entire album live, you would just, you'd never leave because it's just so consistently great. I mentioned that he had worked and, you know, picked up some of the recordings from some other musicians at the time, like Graham Parker. And it's worth noting that he pretty much did a good job of like grabbing Graham Parker's band for a lot of the songs that are recorded on this album. It's Bob Andrews on keyboards and occasionally accordion, who is Graham Parker's keyboard player in The Rumor. It's Steve Golding on drums, who is The Rumor's drummer. And on top of that, we've got, well, basically the Rock Pile band. People like Terry Williams on drums. Nick Lowe is the bass player on this record. And did I mention Steve Golding already as the drummer? Because he was with, yeah, so that, there you go. That's pretty much it for at least the connection to Graham Parker. And I mentioned that because this next track is written by Graham Parker. We played this, I think, when we covered Graham Parker's debut album. That was maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Well, here is Dave Edmunds' version of the same song entitled Back to School Days. Just getting started. Really, this album just never lets up. The next track is a Dave Edmunds original, the first song that has his name as the songwriter on it, with Nick Lowe as his accompaniment. And this is one of those songs that I would hear on the radio in 1977 on WNEW. I was my favorite DJ at the time was Dave Herman. He was the morning guy from 6 until 10, and I listened to him every single weekday morning of my life. I felt like I knew the guy, and he died in ignominy. It was so sad and heartbreaking, the circumstances. I don't want to get into that because that's a totally different story. But at the time, I had such respect for him, and he was turning me on. He would always play like something old, new, borrowed and blue. It was a theme of his. And one thing that he would always do on Fridays, always, is he would play this song as he went off the air at 10 a.m. Well, it's now a little bit too late for that. I'm off by about 9 hours or so, and 2 days. But here's that song written by Dave Edmunds and Nick Lowe. It's called Here Comes the Weekend. Songs are short and succinct. He doesn't waste a beat on any of them. Like on that track, his production, you can tell. He's double-tracking his vocal, and he's singing all the harmonies, and it just sounds great. It's just got this really, awesome rock and roll feel to it. Obviously, this album, I love it. Let's play. The next track is another Dave Edmunds original. There's one other that he also takes credit on, but this one is purely a Dave Edmunds song. And I always thought that this was an old song. Without looking at the credits, I figured that this is something that he dug up from the early 60s or something. But no, he wrote it. It's called Worn Out Suits, Brand New Pockets.
They say money is the root of all evil, but if that's so, they should make a saint of me. Say a fool and his money all.
see what I mean? I mean, doesn't that sound almost exactly like something that he would dig up from some Nashville country star?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just saying that off mic. Exactly that. It's got that old-time country vibe on that.
Yeah, but I mean, but he wrote it. It's not something that, it's not a cover tune. And keep this in mind, too. All of the guitar work on this album, all of it is him. He's playing every
all
single...
of it?
Every single, the electric guitar, the pedal steel guitar, the acoustic guitar, the rhythm guitar, that's him doing all of it. He's a remarkably talented man. This album is just crazy underrated by the world. This is why I love to do what I'm doing here on Wednesdays when I get a chance to hit an album like this and you know, let people hear the whole thing. Okay, here's a very old song that you do know. I'm sure that you would hear this already, because it was famous by Dion, because I mentioned him earlier as well, and this is the reason, because he covered a Dion, well, a song that Dion himself covered, because it's actually a Rodgers and Hart song, and Dion made it famous, but I think that Dave Edmunds does a stunningly beautiful version of Where or When. Listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. The show is American Hit Radio, and we are covering in its entirety the album Get It by Dave Edmunds. I just read recently that Dave Edmunds had a very near-death experience just about a year ago with a major cardiac arrest situation. He has had retired. He's staying retired. He's recovered. But we're not going to see him performing again, and that's a shame. It breaks my heart. And with that in mind, I want to dedicate this show to a great friend of mine named Jim Trateline, who passed away a couple of days ago. He was a musician, extraordinary musician, and one of the nicest people that I've ever met in my entire life. I don't know a single person that doesn't love him who met him. And he was just fun to be around and a great guy to know and a great guy to listen to. And just needed to basically mention him and dedicate this show to Jim Trateline, because I think he'd love every song on this album. All right, let's pick it up and play another track recorded actually a little bit before the album, in about 1975. But the song itself is pretty old, by Jim Ford and Lolly Vegas. It's called Juju Man.
I was just 16 years old.
Wow, that brings back memories for me, man. For about 10 years of my life, I was in a pretty darn good little, you know, bar band, a good rock and roll bar band called the Blaggards. And that song was on our set. And Steve, the guy who sang it great. It kind of sounds like the way that it does on the Dave Edmunds record, as it should, because you're not going to make it any better than Dave Edmunds, that's for sure. All right, time for the title song. This where did he get this song from? I mean, how did he... It's written by a guy named Bob Kelly. I don't know who that is. I don't know where he dug this up, but it's a great song, and he used it as the title for his album. Here's Get It.
Willow, willow, wop, whip, whip, whip. 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 Willow, willow, willow. A Cadillac car.
A Cadillac car.
Where can I get me a Cadillac car? I don't have it now, but I can get it. I don't have it now, but I can get it. I don't have it now, but I can get it. I'll do the best I can. Well, she said, get it.
Get it.
A diamond ring.
A diamond ring.
Where can I get me a diamond ring? I don't have it now, but I can get it. I don't have it now, but I can get it. I don't have it now, but I can get it. So I'll do the best I can. Well, she said, get it.
I am so grateful to Dave Edmunds for finding that song, because it's so fun, isn't it? It's just, the whole album is just a blast. It's a party record. It's weird though, because it's also moving. I mean, I'm the type of person that will tear up if I hear music that I really love. It could be like a great rock and roll song that would make you want to dance and laugh. But if it's that good, I just find myself like overjoyed. It's almost like I tear up from the happiness that the record brings me. I wish I could say that to Dave Edmunds, knowing that, you know, he's probably ill and, you know, obviously not working any longer as a musician. It would be great to be able to let somebody like that know just how important they have been to other people's lives and how great we still consider his music to be. So I'm just putting it out there now. God only knows if the word would ever get around. I guess the odds of that happening are slim to none. But I feel like I need to say it, because I think that he was somebody who deserves the respect for some of the great music that he's recorded. I mean, he's got a bunch of good albums, really good albums. I've just grabbed this one because it's the one that I personally found first one I fell in love with of his, and I consider it to be like perfect. Really, there's not a bad song on this album, and we'll go on. The next two are both cover tunes. We could play you could play both of them, I guess. First is the Otis Blackwell tune, which was made famous by Elvis, called "Let's Talk About Us." And we can segue that into the Hank Williams tune, "Hey Good Lookin'."
Well, we talk about the birdies flying in the trees. We talk about the moon up there, the stars we cannot see.
talk about us. We talk about the good times that made us laugh and sigh. We talk about the bad times that brought tears to my eyes. Well, I think it's about time for you to realize. Come on, let's talk about us. Let's talk about us.
Edmonds didn't just jump out of nowhere, though, in 1977 when this album came out. He had a top 10 hit. I think it was a top 10 hit in, you know, on American Top 40, Billboard's Top 40 singles in around 1972. The song I Hear You Knockin', which was a late 50s song, I think by Smiley Lewis, if I remember correctly. And he did a cover version of it in 72 that became a really huge hit. And it came out on his debut album. And the debut album was called Rock Pile. So that's where the band eventually got their name from, just taking it from his debut album. And just playing this album now just makes me realize that I've got to set my mind to making sure that I have ownership of every single Dave Edmonds album. I know that I have a good number of them. But I don't have Rock Pile. I don't have the first album. And I don't have Subtle as a Flying Mallet, I don't think. Maybe I do. Maybe I did get that in recent years. But I know there's a lot that I could stand to hear, because I don't think there's very much filler with his records, as this album proves. So good. I got something to do for the next two or three weeks. I love when I have assigned myself something like that. Because I've been doing, that's how I got this radio show, by doing stuff like that. So I may as well keep going, right? I'm going to be a Dave Edmunds completist in the next month or so. All right, playing our way through the rest of the album, Get It, which was released, as I said, in April of 1977. A poor album, never made it past number 209 in America, which is unbelievably ridiculous, I think. This is like a top 10 album of the year for me. But next track up is a song that's written by Nick Lowe, who is playing bass on every track on this album. He's the bassist. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that. Wait, I'm wrong. Because Dave Edmunds is credited as bass on some of the songs, and so is somebody else named Paul Riley. So I take that back. I don't know when Nick is playing bass or when he isn't, but I would bet 10 to 1 that he's going to be playing bass on his own song because he wrote it, and it's called What Did I Do Last Night?
Well, woke up this morning, I had in a strange bed. I was so hungover, Lord, wishing I was dead. Racking my brains, I was trying to recall, but I could not remember what had happened at all. What did I do last night?
Last night,
when the stars were shining bright, when I was humming and a-bopping with the spaced out crowd, top 10 music player went too loud. What did I get into?
Last night,
this is the last time I'll ever do it. I'll make a brand new start if I get alive. What did I do last night?
Well,
I opened my eyes and took a look because I didn't have a clue about where I was. Turned my head and it cut me like a knife. Plus the woman lying there surely wasn't my wife. What did I do last night?
Last night,
when the stars were shining bright, when I was humming and a-loving with the spaced out crowd, the top 10 music player went too loud. What did I get into?
Last night,
to tell me who I gotta apologize to. I'll make a brand new start if I get out of line. What did I do last night?
Woo-hoo!
Like a 15 to 20 on a prison break. What did I do last night?
Last night,
while the stars were shining bright, while I was humming and a-bopping with a spaced out crowd, the top 10 music day were too loud. What did I get into?
Last night,
tell me who do I apologize to? I'll make a brand new start if I can get out of line. What did I do last night? What did I do last night? What did I do last night? What did I do last night?
I'm looking forward. And if you look at the album that he released, this is his third debut solo album. The album that he put out after this was called Tracks on Wax 4. And I never got what that was about, the title. And now I realize, oh, it's his fourth album. Duh. But at the time, I was like, what does that mean? But there's so many great songs on that album. You probably know these, just the titles from the radio. Songs like Trouble Boys, Television, Reader's Wives, Deborah, a song which I believe he dedicated to Debbie Harry, A1 on the Jukebox, and Heart of the City. That's just a taste of what that album is like. I mean, he was on a roll in the late 70s. He just owned rock and roll, really. Even though all these other things were happening around it, where rock and roll was exploding and splintering and falling apart, he was sitting there like glue, holding the whole thing together. Give him a lot of credit for it. All right. The next track is, I said there was one more song that does have Dave Edmunds as the writing, with the writing credit for the song. Again, with Nick Lowe, they wrote this together. It's called Little Darling.
Darling, little darling, can I take you home tonight? We can wander back the long way, underneath the stars so bright. Well, the memories are shining like a button of love. There's perfume in the air this night, made for love, darling. To hold on.
to any other lips. It's so fine.
Brings us close to the end. I just want to mention one other thing, though, too. There was another album that came out in the 70s that was called Repeat When Necessary. And on that album, he had got really a lot of radio play with a Graham Parker song called Crawling From the Wreckage. I never heard Graham Parker do it. I don't think Graham Parker released a version of it. I think he just gave it to Dave. And Dave Edmund killed it. I mean, he totally crushed it. I wouldn't want to record it after Dave Edmund did it either. It's so good. And he did the same thing with Elvis Costello. Elvis Costello recorded Girls Talk, and his version is okay. But the version that Dave Edmund did is hitbound. It's fantastic, his version. Queen of Hearts, another, it's fabulous. So he's really worth looking into if it's anything that sounds new to you. I want to recommend also that you check out our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com. All of our shows, literally all of the shows that we've done so far dedicated to albums, are on the website. So that means you've got 500 albums just about to choose from, going all the way back from 1955 up until 1977, where we're at here. And you can pick whatever you want to hear, whenever you want to hear it. It's yours to listen to. It's easy. It's no problem. And it's totally hip and legal because I'm totally paid up with BMI and ASCAP and all those people. So it's all fair. Fair play. And if you do go to the website, you know, write me. Tell me what you think. I'd love to hear from you. So let's go, and we can end this with the last track from the album Get It, one of my favorite albums from 1977. It's an old Arthur Crudup song. What's interesting about this is that it was recorded back in 1969. This version, Dave Edmunds recorded it when he started the band Love Sculpture. That was before he was doing the Rockpile stuff. And in 1969, the band Love Sculpture put out an album. This is one of the songs that got edited out. So he puts it here on this album to end it, which is a pretty cool thing to do, proving that there's not much difference in his world between 1969 and 1977. I think that's cool. His version of My Baby Left Me. Said goodbye. Here I stand.
Morning is brought to you by AmericanHitNetwork.com.
In 1958, this magazine debuted its Hot 100.